Good. And I'm glad to have each of you that are with us this morning throughout the Lord's body. As you might have guessed, there's a number of our folks that are not here in the building or in the room this morning. Of course, our children are gone and the children's workers, but there's others that are not here as well. But we're glad that you are here, and I'm glad that salvation true salvation is not about it's not about us being in church. It's about us being the church 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. That doesn't take away from our gatherings. That truth does not take away from our gatherings, but rather it makes our gatherings more significant. Because we are gathering not on the basis of religion, we're gathering on the basis of our union with Christ, and union with Christ is what I've been talking about and what I want to continue to talk about this morning. Before I do, and I'm glad that each of you are with us, because many of you are with us every Sunday. Others of you are with us throughout the week as you come across this telesite. Web TV, in the Lord's body and around the world, and we're just glad to have you with us whenever it is that you are gathered with us via internet. Many are with us this morning in real time, and I want us to pray for one of our brothers that is here and part of this fellowship and has been part of the fellowship since before there was a fellowship. And it's good to have both he and his wife here with us. They're not here today visiting. They're here because this is where the Lord has placed them. And there's no mystery to that. It's Richard Mixon and, of course, Richard and his wife, Judy. And we want to just pray with and for Richard this morning. And without going into anything about which there is not a lot to go into, at this point in time, but having come from a doctor's examination, there was a point of concern, and we would just like to pray, not just pray for, or ask that, you know, all of you remember so-and-so in your prayers. We'd like just to make it part of our gathering today, part of this time of our gathering and your gathering with us, that we just pray for Richard. For many that sounds so hollow, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the exercising of a union that we have one with another through our union with Christ. We're talking about sharing the Spirit of life. We're talking about sharing that measure of Christ that worketh in every part one with another. And we do that by laying our hands on one another, by a point of contact one with another. And so I would like to do that this morning before we get started. We in this place do pray with and pray for one another, and have seen the Lord's direction and the Lord's Spirit move time and time again, not only in physical need, but in just need that comes up in our lives, because we live on this earth and because we have earthly bodies. But where is a greater place from which to present to Christ everything of our life, everything of our need, than that place that we occupy and are occupied with? And I'm talking about the reality of our being in Christ. So upon that reality and upon that foundation this morning, our union with Christ, then I want us to just join together and pray with Richard. And brother, come up here. And let's all just join ourselves together in a manifest way this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join with us wherever you are in extending ourselves and extending the Lord's Spirit to this our brother. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our union with you. For this is no small thing, Christ dwelling in you, even this treasure in our earthen vessels. Lord Jesus, I ask that you just, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you minister to this physical body, that you quicken this body by that same Spirit whereby Christ is raised up out from among the dead, even the body of life. Holy Lamb of God, so we speak life. We speak cleansing life. We speak quickening life by thy very Spirit, who is the very Spirit of life. Lord, just manifest life. This is your promise. Just manifest life in this mortal flesh, in Jesus' precious name. Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. By your Spirit, minister throughout, head to foot, top to bottom, every cell, within and without. Let it be quickened by your Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 There are not many of us who have served the Lord for any amount of time who have not occasioned the need that our very physical bodies be quickened by His eternal life. That's what it's about, hon. Christ in you. See? Christ in you. Eternal life. I was just reading this morning, the words of the Lord Jesus in John 12. I spend a lot of time in a certain part of that chapter, but I was just reading all of it. Just reading all of it. And it's just a few words here, but it really is the focus of everything that Christ is saying, actually, in this whole chapter. And He's speaking of His relationship between Himself and the Father, basically, is what He's talking about. I know that His commandment is life. Jesus is saying this concerning the Father. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. What we have of God in Christ is life. And I said that one time. I remember And an individual that was standing there just listening and we were talking said, well, yeah, brother, but that's eternal life. And I said, life is eternal. There isn't any other kind. You either have life or you're dead. But there's not a non-eternal life and then an eternal life, and then just going down the road. No. No, there is life. Why? Because life is gathered up in one person. Life is gathered up in one. The one who says today, I am the resurrection. I am the life. The one who says today, I am the way, the truth, the life. The one who says today, I am He that liveth, was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And the one who said that went on to say, and I have the keys of death and of hell. And it's life, darling. Christ is life. Christ is the very spirit of life. And He is the very life of the Spirit, for it is one. Hallelujah. My Father and I are one. See, He says that. We try to make theological doctrines out of it, and when we do, we just make a mess of it. They are one life, one Spirit. and on we could go. The reality of our salvation is where I'm will be dealing here, well, already am. The reality of our salvation is that that one dwells in us. Dwells in us. Hallelujah. Our union with Him. And really nothing else. Nothing else really does it. Our union with Him defines, gives definition to, defines our salvation. Nothing else really does. Nothing else really does. I was thinking about this last night. And I've got the notes on it, but I, you know, generally never get as far as I have notes. But I was thinking about it. Salvation. Union with Christ. And how we can be born again and have a carnal understanding of new birth. How we can actually be in Christ. Because if we're born from above, we're in Christ. Because if Christ is in you, you're in Him. We've been reading John 14, verse 20, about the threefold union into which we have been brought as our salvation. Threefold union into which all the terms of our salvation are gathered up. Oh yeah, all of them. Redemption is gathered up there. Sanctification is gathered up there. Justification is gathered up there. Reconciliation is gathered up there. All of the terms of our salvation is gathered up in Christ Himself. In our union with Him. So threefold union. In that day, speaking of the day of our salvation, speaking of the day that He came to dwell in His body and bring it forth as the church. Lifting it up. Who came? The one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the one who came. And He came by the very Spirit of resurrection and life. And He to dwell in those who were gathered together. And that hadn't stopped until this very day. He said, in that day, you will know. I am in my Father. We've been talking about that. What a union. Because that's the union into which we are brought. The very next phrase. And you in me. And the very foundation of that union, the person of that union, the spirit and life of that union is Christ in you. And He ends by saying, and I in you. I and my Father, you in me, I am in you. Oh, hon, you can just see the word one written across that. No, that doesn't mean we've become God. It doesn't mean we've become Christ. No. But there's only one union. We have come into union with that one. That one who is in the Father. That one in whom we dwell. That one who dwells in you. Good Lord, honey. Sometimes I just want to say it, and I'll say it anyway. Wake up and smell the roses. The rose of Sharon. Wake up. We could just fall in love with Him. and put away all of our idiosyncrasies, and I'm talking about religious ones, and all of our little, if we could just fall in love with that one whose body we are. So I was thinking about that last night. And I thought, we actually can be in Christ and are in Christ through our salvation and have a carnal understanding of it. Christ actually dwelling in us because we have received Him. We are born from above. Oh, this shouldn't be, and when I say it, it just sounds all wrong in my mind, but I know my background. I know how long I was truly born again. Even, like I've said many times, went through Bible school and was out as a preaching evangelist, all of that, and had no comprehension whatsoever of my salvation. None. No, you know, I knew all the things. I had no comprehension of the indwelling Christ. Had no comprehension of what it meant to be in Christ. Never even heard of it. No, that's true. In all of the religion that I had, I'd never heard of those terms spoken in direct relationship to our salvation. Never. Certainly wasn't in any of the classes that I took in Bible college. None of them. So I can tell you, hon, oh yes, you can have a carnal understanding of the indwelling Christ. You can have a carnal understanding of Christ in you. Israel's salvation was not based upon them getting out of Egypt. It was not about them getting out of Egypt. I know it involved. There's a lot of things that are involved, that are gathered in, but not the basis of. God's view of salvation was not a bunch of Israelites wandering around in the wilderness. Now you know that. God's view of the salvation of Israel in the first place was his view of the Lamb. Now, I won't even stay with that. And from that, he brought them to his view of the high priest. And from that, through great difficulty, he brought them to his view of the King of Kings. Oh, yes. King of Kings upon his throne, Lord of Lords, ruling. He did all of that. And in all of it, they just saw themselves. Just saw themselves. But God declared his view. The Lamb, the high priest, the king, all gathered up in one. All gathered up in one. The Lamb upon the throne, gathered up in one. the priest, king, the king, priest, the priest and the king gathered up in one. That's true. A prophet saw that coming fulfilled. It is fulfilled in Christ. And don't forget that everything that the prophet saw, God saw it first, determined it first, and then spake it by the prophets. But hon, he hath at the end of the days of type and shadow and promises and prophecies, he hath spoken. And that is such a wide word. He hath gathered it all in. The comprehension of it, the promise of it, the words of it, the occasion. He's gathered it all in. Everything that has been laid down for generations in testimony. The mystery that was hidden, now revealed in one Son, in Christ. Don't you see? That's why Christ is in you. Right now, you who have received Him, you who have come to Him by Spirit, by truth, by indwelling Spirit of God, indwelling Son, indwelling seed, indwelling Word. It's all gathered up, and it's Him. Our union is with Him. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. So, that's what we've been talking about. I want to continue that. I read this Wednesday night, but I wanted our Sunday morning folks. Some of you are Wednesday night too, I understand that. I've got a letter here from a precious brother. Whom I've known for, I don't know, at least over somewhere between 35 and 40 years, I'm sure. Our fellowship has always been in the person of Christ, and it has always been expressed one to another in the knowing of Christ. A precious brother, a fellow laborer in the gospel, and one who is continually a genuine blessing to my heart. If you'd like to know who that is, you can ask me and I'll tell you personally. But I get these sharings from our brother. We used to publish them in our magazine. We had an internet magazine for a good while, and we would publish these letters under the heading of Open Letter to the Church, or Open Letter to the Body of Christ. And that's exactly what it is, and so I'm making it, as it were, an open letter to you. I want to share it with you. I am encouraged in the Lord today because it's what I'm talking about right here. It's what I am talking about. Union with Christ. I am encouraged in the Lord today. I hear much about a coming of the Lord from people who are looking into the sky or to a physical geographical location. Some are even looking on TV so that they can can see his coming live on CNN. I'm encouraged, but not by those distractions. I am encouraged because I am also looking for his coming and his appearing. I'm looking unto Jesus, but I am also looking into the mirror, the inward. I'm looking into the faces and hearts of his people, his body. And I'm seeing and hearing him. In John 14 through 17, he said he was going to prepare himself a place for us, and he did. And that he would come again and receive us unto himself. And he did, and he does. So that we could be in one union with him, where he is. Oh, come. Yes. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, forgive me for the distractions. Forgive me for not seeing your truth and often making it more about true things than truth himself. Truth himself, who is the gospel, the door and everything behind it, the Father's house, the revelation revealed. Oh, I love that. The city, the tree of life, the river of life, the street of gold, the temple, the seed, the vine, the root, the resurrection, the way, the truth, the life, the glorified Son of the living God. You, sir, are the absolute King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You are my salvation, because if you have not come, I have no salvation and no life. I rejoice in you. I thank you for coming. And, oh Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill the earth with your glory, your presence, life, character, healing. And may you truly have the preeminence in all things, but first of all in me. Forgive me for being more concerned about man's opinions than your opinion and your eternal purpose and truth, which is always your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Now, I didn't read the last paragraph of this, but I'm going to read it to you now. Because we have all of this treasure in earthen vessels. And in those earthen vessels, we face everything that there is to face on this earth. Last week, the thought came to me, you don't have a ministry, and you're almost 65. You work in a body shop, etc., etc., etc. I thought it might be coming from the enemy, but responded to myself, "That's right, and I'm glad." That also means I don't have a reputation to worry about. I don't have to get involved in all the stuff. I can pursue knowing the Lord without a lot of stuff. And then in parenthesis, I know we need some stuff. I can just love and serve and minister life to people without a lot of stuff. I was a little depressed, but actually quite relieved. And then, just 2 days ago, the Lord spoke into my heart, "You don't have a ministry. You have me." My Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our union with Christ. It's what we've been talking about. And I want us to look in reference to that, because we're talking about the second part of that threefold union with Christ, the part where Jesus says, "And you in me." We're talking about the reality of being in Christ. And we're not covering a lot of ground from the manual here, but we will continue to plod along as the Lord enables us to do so. I want to speak of God's view of our salvation, and that's the thing I was thinking about last night, because it's so easy. You hear it in the songs that Christian quartets sing and that are in Christian songbooks and so forth. You hear, you know, how God got Israel out of Egypt, or how God got Israel across the Red Sea, and on and on and on, and all of that's true. But it has, for many, it has become the paramount view of salvation. This business of getting out. I've talked to you about it here in some of these Sunday morning lessons in reference to my little episode. It's a little episode to me now in India, but that could have happened any place, and does often happen from place to place for those who would know the Lord. We are challenged with regard to the place, where he has received us unto himself. God's view of our salvation is not Israel escaping in any way from Egypt. His focus was on the Lamb, and honey, it's the same today. It's the same Lamb. Maybe it's more so today, because that Lamb has come. That Lamb is come. You don't have to go to a place called Golgotha on a Roman structured cross. You see this lamb. Oh yes, who was slain? But you see this lamb. You see God's view of this lamb. It was His view from the beginning. It was that view that He set forth in the front of Israel had they eyes, had they even a desire to see. Now their whole heart and life and thinking was, let's get out of Egypt. And then later on, if God really loved us, Moses, you old reprobate, if He really loved us, He would get us out of this wilderness. You remember the ones who were hollering that and singing that song is the ones who all died in that wilderness because they rejected God's program of getting them out, which was them going in. Well, we'll leave that. But that's our salvation, hon. And the Lamb. The Lamb is seen. God's view of the Lamb is seen, setting up on the throne. Our poor carnal minds are so far from being able to understand that view, because it is the Lamb there upon the throne as though He were slain. But it is the Lamb there with the horns of power and the power of resurrection and the knowledge of God and the all-seeing Spirit. It is the glory of the Lord sitting there. And it is the Redeemer of the body of Christ sitting there. The Lamb of God, God's view of the Lamb. And then God's view of the high priest. We've been looking at that to some degree as a lot of these sharings are coming out of Hebrews chapter 9. And well, the letter to the Hebrews, but we're focusing on chapter 9. And they're speaking specifically of our high priest. But then, our King, and I in you. Oh my, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and I in you. My heart, folks, is just that we would set aside ourselves. And turn aside from all else and just say, Father, Father, show me the Son. And to that Son, as our brother has spoken in the letter that I wrote, or that He wrote to us, even so, Lord Jesus, so come. The word come there, speaking of the parousia, the manifest presence of the Lord, the manifest, unveiled and manifest presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. To live in that reality which just increases and increases and increases.
My, my. Which possesses and takes possession of our soul, our heart, our mind, transforming from the knowing of the natural to the knowing of the Spirit of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's view of our salvation. I want us to look at it as just for a while, the time we have here, as a corporate view of salvation, a corporate view of salvation. Now, I'll explain that in a minute. Well, I may not explain it, but I'll give you my definition of it in a moment. We put it here on the just on the board to visualize believers from these little zeros here. That's a good term for them. Being in Christ Himself. Christ Himself. A corporate view. A corporate view. Well, partially in saying a corporate view, what I'm trying to say is that it is not a view of me or you . It is a view of many, but it is a view of many, all of whom are not only in one, in Christ, in one, gathered up in Him, but they are one. They are one body of Him. One body. So what we would do as we go on with this, and what I'll just demonstrate here, is we actually come to realize that, yes, though we are in Christ, there's no, should be no doubt about that, certainly no doubt about that, as our salvation is concerned. Maybe a lot of ignorance concerning that reality, and even in the heart of believers. But what we come to is, and it's not just as easy as erasing it off this board, but we come in our heart, in our soul, into God's view . And the whole thing is one. One Son who lives in many, who are, by virtue of Him living in them, who are one body of that one Son. Why? Because of this first point of union, I am in my Father. And hun, the Father only sees us and only accepts us in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is the way I want to say it. I want to say, honey, he doesn't accept us because there's so many of us. He accepts us because there's just one of us. Now, can you hear that? I'm not trying to be confusing here at all. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. This man knew Christ was his life. This man knew he was in Christ. This man introduced those truths to the church, to believers, his epistles, his letters. It wasn't a man who's ignorant of his salvation. Oh, no. But it was a man who had come to God's view of his salvation. I am crucified, he says. I am crucified with Christ. I didn't just stumble along, get caught by the Romans, nailed on a... No. I was brought into that with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Honey, that is the same reality, or the same in reality as when he says, Christ liveth in me. See, that's an ongoing reality. I am crucified with Christ is an ongoing reality. Nevertheless, I live. See? But something had happened there. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. All I'm telling you, darling, is we're not accepted in the beloved, but by the beloved who dwells in us. You can't separate that reality. It's like trying to separate life from the light of life. You can't separate that reality because it's not two things. Well, then what about the corporate? It is many who are one. Accepted in the beloved. The many here is not, the many is not the basis of greatness. The many is not the basis of fruit. The many is not the basis of increase. Then what is? The one. Dwelling in many. It could be the one dwelling in one. Because it really is. In God's sight, it really is. Because the many are one. One house, one body, one. Made so by the one who lives in them. Can you get a hold of that? Can you hear that? Oh, Spirit of God demonstrates that through showing us that one in that inward reality. That's the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, honey. It is the appearing of the Lord. I mean, look at it. You'll see the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That reality is in you. Christ in you. Hallelujah. This corporate view of salvation we have been visualizing a little some here in this diagram is really the true view. It is a diagram of salvation. What we are seeing in this diagram is believers in Christ. A New Testament term, in Christ, is used over 200 times. Now, you know that, you've heard that, but that's always amazed me because it most of the time it's something Paul said in one of his epistles, but it's in the New Testament, and I don't know, some have counted it as 230, but because it's having to do with terms like in whom, but it always is referring to Christ, in whom we have an inheritance, in whom we are, you understand, or in Him, or in Christ. I was looking at that this morning right here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. And look how he's using this as a great summation here. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Verse 1 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." This is not talking about a body to come something, honey. A body to become. A body that... No. This is a reality that Paul sees in Christ as the body of Christ. He sees what Christ told his disciples that salvation is all about. "I will come in newness and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. In that day you will know I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you." Paul understands that reality in the face of the indwelling Son of God. And his whole gospel comes out from that understanding. Where else would he get it? And that's what he's talking about here. Not something that one day is supposed to come out of the sky. It is gathered up right here. Therefore, if any man be, well, that's been added, but it hasn't disturbed anything. If any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man in Christ, a new creation. King James says he is a new creation, is the right word. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. Some say the new is come. That's fine because it's a present reality. And the new is Christ Himself. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you about just in the few moments that I've actually given to it here. So when I say corporate view, I'm talking about one in many. Or even many in one. But it comes to just this. One new man having one new body. And God looks at that and sees a whole creation of God in Christ. That's our salvation. And that's the corporate view of it. Let me just close with this sentence. This is a page I wanted to spend time on. We'll come back to it. You and I live in Christ. We can come and go into this building, but we live in Christ. We live in Christ. So much so that wherever we are found, we are found there in Christ. And that simply means that there is never any other place that I am but in Him. Because being in Him has become the all-inclusive, eternal place. Time doesn't arrange it or affect it, nor anything else. Think about it. Because this place is the person Himself, whose body we are. Thank you for being with us today. It has been a joy to share with you and to share this letter with you. And I so appreciate my brother for allowing me to do these things. But we need this sharing one with another. This sharing, which is swallowed up and filled up in that reality which is Christ Himself. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding. May He do that. May the Lord appear. In all the realness of Himself, in those who are setting their very heart and soul to know Him in that way. Thank you for being with us today. If we can be of ministry to you in any way, please let us know. If we can enlarge ministry to you, let us know. If there's any way that we can help you or reach out to you, then please let us know. And also, thanks to you who reach out to us with your support, with your prayers, with your sharing, and enable us to continue the outreach of this gospel throughout the Lord's body and around the world. You're part of that outreach. And you have increasingly become an active part
of that outreach going even beyond you. And that's great. So the Lord bless you, hon. It's our privilege to be with you. And have not only a good day, but have a good Thanksgiving day. May the Lord bless. Amen.